Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 16 of the Divided by Werewolf show. This is a sweet 16. I think we're supposed to have a big birthday party now. Is that right?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Supposed to be. This is when we get laid at prom or something. I don't know. That never happened to me.
We can drive too.
That's right. So I'm Brandon. Mitch is here too. We have a bunch of stuff that we're going to talk about. February, normally not a great time for movies. That's normally when they kind of dump all the shitty movies that nobody wants to go see. But so far, banging on all cylinders.
Absolutely.
We're gonna get into that tonight. Do you want to do our list first, or do you want to talk about kind of what we've been playing first?
Briefly. We can talk about the games first if you want.
Sure. So you're still doing Resident Evil 7, correct?
Yes. Doing Resident Evil 7, still chugging along. It hasn't changed much since our last show. It's still, you know, very much a first-person Resident Evil experience. Mm. And, you know, it's funny. It's very claustrophobic. And so while at first I felt like, okay, this is the first house, this is the first part of the game. Once I escape the house, it's really going to open up. Yeah, I don't think it does.
Oh, okay.
I mean, based on other people's play times and looking at the hours I've got in it, I'm probably roughly halfway through it at this point, maybe a little more. And I don't think we're leaving the house.
Oh, okay.
I left the house, but I don't think I'm going to leave the yard.
Right.
It's like, I think it's a very contained environment, which is fine, you know, for what it is. But yeah, doing that. And then I started Gears of War 4 on the Xbox.
And how are you liking that so far?
Well, so I almost tweeted you this, and almost texted you this, but I played the prologue, which was badass, and then I'm on Act 1, and based on Act 1, I completely agree with you.
Okay.
It's so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Like, it's just stupid. Like the core gears mechanics is there,
yes.
Are there, but fuck if I don't care about the characters.
Oh, I know, right?
Oh my god, yeah. It is so stupid.
I felt bad because Anthony's a big fan. Anthony's one of the guys who plays Overwatch for us, for those of you who watch the Drunk Watch streams, and he's a big Gears fan. And I called it aggressively stupid one night.
Yeah.
He's a big fan, and I feel bad. Yeah. I got to learn how to be quiet half the time, probably like three quarters of the time. But yeah, I feel the same. Yeah, I was just like, who are these people? I don't care about them. I'm fighting robots in a city. Why?
No, I'm not digging it. I'll finish it because I paid money for it.
Sure.
Thankfully, not a lot of money. But the Horde mode is fun. Like, I jumped into Horde mode with Blood Money the other night, and it was fun.
Well, the only thing kind of – well, it's good that you like it because they force you to do Horde mode a number of times in the campaign. And I think Horde mode is great, you know, with friends when you're just kind of shooting the shit or whatnot. But, like, as something – like, I have no interest in doing Horde mode on my own or with AI. When you you can't communicate, so that was really annoying. But they definitely used the single player campaign to be like, hey, here, not only is this how you play it, but here, look at these maps, look at how awesome our maps are, and it's like, I don't give a shit. So I think it gets better once it opens up into where you're not just shooting robots, I don't know, some of the world building stuff they did, I just was like, I don't understand what the hell's happening, and I should not understand a Gears of War game.
Right. Yeah, right. They're not known for their depth.
Exactly, right. Ghost Recon Wildlands, so that open beta hits. By the time this thing's live, the beta will be open beta will be live as well, so I'm looking forward to
it. It is pre-downloaded.
Yep, me too.
Ready to go.
We are all set. Cool. And have you started Inside? Because I know I picked you. You tweeted that they had it on sale. You picked it up. I picked it up as well. Have you started it at all?
Sweet. I have not. I downloaded it. My PlayStation is not set to like sleep mode or whatever it's called. So I downloaded it last night, but I haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, on my end, so we're almost done with Hitman. I'm on Hokkaido, which is the last level in Season 1. I'm enjoying it quite a bit, but
yeah.
At this point in time, I mean, I do kind of have Hitman fatigue, to be perfectly honest. Like, folks that kind of watch the stream, the first episodes, I was like, oh, you know, we're not going to get Silent Assassin. We need to redo this. And now I'm like, I'm not going to get so Silent Assassin, for those who don't play, there's a challenge. Every chapter of Hitman has different challenges on how you can kill people, and they all have Silent Assassin, and that means that you have to kill. You only kill your targets. You are never spotted. No bodies are ever found. And if the security cameras capture you on video, then you have to delete the tapes, destroy the evidence, whatever. And so
Right. Previous
chapters, if I wasn't going to get Silent Assassin, I was like, oh, you know, we're going to redo this and reload and whatnot. And this last chapter, like, people saw me. I'm like, fuck it, whatever. Running past because, I mean, particularly the Colorado chapter, I felt like, you know, I had done really well enough to get five.
Oh, shit.
They're not stars.
Schooled that shit.
They're like symbols, five Hitman symbols, and I didn't. I only got three, and I was like, all right, fuck this. And I don't know. I just kind of lost patience. And I know that, you know, that they've kind of built things into the levels to continually redo them and get all the challenges and all the opportunities. And I mean, I was never going to be that person in the first place. And I think if you're not that person, then, like, renting it or playing the game when you can get it as a full game, maybe on sale, is the way to go. If you're the type of person who's going to replay it and really get that value of it from episode to episode, then I can see how the episodic stuff might be better for you. But I'm glad I played it. It's just, you know, it is a game that requires a lot of – like, I feel bad for people watching me stream because half the time it's just me walking around going, all right, I don't know how to get over there. You know?
Well, yeah, but I'll say, man, I have never been a fan of the series. Uh-huh. I've played the first one I think I tried was like part two on the original Xbox.
Yep.
And then I played whichever one was like on the PS2. I played that.
Okay.
Not a fan, but I'm enjoying the stream. Okay. So I like watching other people play it, but I have no interest in playing it myself.
Well, it got a lot better. The original Hitman games were extremely difficult, but like Blood Money was really entertaining, just pulpy and stupid, but they also opened it up and made it a little bit more flexible, similar to how, like, the original Splinter Cell games. I mean, if you got found in the original Splinter Cell games, then you were fucked. You needed to reload or restart the checkpoint.
Yep.
Like, there just was no option. And they've really changed those games to make it so that Sam has a lot more options when he gets found. I mean, you definitely don't want to get found because you're going to have the easiest go of things if you don't, but it's not an automatic, okay, I need to reload a checkpoint. And the Hitman games have come a long way in that regard as well. But again, it's all about what it is that you're trying to do. If you're trying to kind of set up this, you know, kind of play in their world where he's this perfect assassin and you, like, punching out laundry attendants who see you doesn't really buy into that. So. And then I'm almost done with Assassin's Creed 2, the remaster. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, it's funny. I was kind of worried my opinion of the game would change, and it hasn't. Like, I still really enjoy it, but it is stupid. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I forgot just how refined the traversal mechanics got over the course of the series. Like, I mean, I forgot how much I just love to jump out into nowhere and die.
I'm not going to – I won't speak about the Assassin's Creed series, so I'm not a fan. So,
yeah. I mean, they will always be – it's funny because as far as, like, series goes, it's probably my favorite series in games. That and Mass Effect would
probably – Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I stand hard for Assassin's Creed.
I hear you.
And I recognize all the faults. I mean, no doubt. But
sure.
I love these games. You know, I love them. So, but
I respect that. They're not for me. That's all I can say. I own 1, 2, and 3, and then I got 4 for free, so I have that. But that's 4's it.
The best one.
I played like 10 minutes of it.
like the that is the one thing that has like I originally was like, okay, no, two, it was a tie, kind of a tie between two and four for the best one, and, yeah, and four is definitely the best one. Ezio is the best character, but in terms of like gameplay and everything, yeah, four is the best one.
Well, here's where so I got really psyched for three, even though I didn't care for one and two. I don't even think I finished two. I finished the first one, but I got really pumped for three for that whole like the setting, mm-hmm, you know, like all those big, they kept showing all those big battles and shit, and I was like, yeah, this is gonna be shit, right? And then I was just running around climbing trees and getting feathers and shit, and I was like, well, I don't give a fuck about this. This is stupid.
Yeah.
And then four. So the problem with four is that I didn't give a shit about Assassin's Creed, and B, I don't give a shit about pirates. Oh, and so it's like, well,
there you go.
You mix those two things, I really don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah. No, the naval battles in four, like there was like these optional, like just huge vessels to go up against, and that was some of the most thrilling stuff I've done in a game, is fighting those battles. Like they were fucking awesome. But nice. But yeah, if you don't care about assassins or pirates, that's really a hard sell for you. and then I did download into. I actually have For Honor as well. The fighting
game. Dude, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm kind of undecided as to when to start, and I'm pretty sure I'm just going to play through the story, and it's going to be awful because I didn't realize it was a fighting game. I thought it was like an action game.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be terrible at it. So it's probably going to be worth a laugh just for me to stream some of the story to see how terrible I am. But
sure.
Horizon Zero Dawn coming out next week. I mean, I'll be playing For Honor just as like a filler. So that's it for us. Now, we have very important. So knowing that we were going to be talking about Lego Batman and John Wick 2 tonight, I asked Mitch if we could come up with our top five Batman movies. And the only qualification I gave was that it can't be a Justice League movie. Like Batman has to be front and center. Although I would, if his name's in the title, I would consider that okay, because there's a number. So obviously there's Batman versus Superman, but there's also a number of DC animated movies where it was Batman and Superman. And so
sure,
as long as if his name was in the title, then that counted for me. But like a JLA, for example, doesn't. So. Okay. Do you want to go first? You're the Batman expert. I have, just for the record, I have more pieces of Batman, of art, Batman, drawn by Mitch on my walls than I do art drawn by my own children. Like, I just... like, they give me some, like, yeah, this is great, but I can't, no, there's no room. Do you see this Batman? He drew that at lunch. You need to step your game up. Macaroni weak ass shit out my face.
So before we get into this, just so people understand where I'm coming from, there's literally two things that people who know me on the internet, people who know me in real life, they know two things. They know that I love horror movies and I love Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's basically like if you break it down to the bare essentials, like that's what people know about me. If they've only heard my name, they know those two things, right? So that being said, this was very difficult for me. Like mm-hmm. I thought it'd be easy. And when I really got to thinking about it, picking just five was almost impossible. And I have so much – I've written it down, dude. This became like a formula for me. I have notes and shit here. Wow. So. But I got down to five and only three honorable mentions.
Oh wow, so okay.
That's where I'm at.
Okay.
And it was very hard to do, but I did it.
Very good. Now do you want to go like 5-1 or do you want to start at the top?
I'm gonna go honorable mentions first and then I'll go 5-1.
Okay.
So go do we want to do the whole list or do you want to do like
Well, I don't have any honorable mentions.
High five or
So why, okay, don't, you, well, why don't you do your honorable mentions, and then we'll kind of we can – I'd say you do yours, and then I'll do mine, and then that way.
Okay. And again, like I don't – again, this would take up the whole show, so I'm only going to say maybe one sentence about each one or whatever, and probably not that much. But all right, so here go. Honorable mentions. I have three. The first one is the 66 Batman movie.
Okay.
And I have that. That almost made my number five spot, but I ended up sticking it in honorable mentions just because I think that I have a very, very soft spot in my heart for the 66 series.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like Batman is, and at that time, yes, that was a perfect representation of how Batman was, you know, in the comics. Like that was the perfect Batman adaptation at that time. I just feel like since then, you know, we've stepped our game up.
Right.
So I put that there. Like I said, almost made five, but that's honorable mention number one. Number two is a fan film called Dead End. And I don't know if you've seen this or not.
I don't know if I have either.
It is fucking amazing. It's called Batman Dead End. It's on the internet everywhere. It's been out for a few years. It has Boner from Growing Pains as the Joker.
Oh.
He is fucking amazing, dude. And so it starts off as like this, and Batman is fucking like ripped. He's like Arnold ripped, right? He looks like Alex Ross Batman, like the suit.
Yep.
But he is fucking jacked. And he's like, he starts like kicking the shit out of the Joker. And the next thing you know, a fucking predator comes.
Oh, yes. I have seen that one.
It's wild, dude, right? And then aliens show up and shit, like from Alien. And it is fucking awesome. And so like I had to put that on. I had to at least mention it. So that's the second one. So the third one, and this one I think may be on your list. I'm not sure because you're the only person I know who loved this as much as I love it, is the Under the Red Hood.
That is number three for me.
Yeah, that's my that shit.
I love that movie. I love it to death.
Yeah, me too. So I'll let you talk more about that one. But that one is just like that's my third honorable mention. At a fucking amazing animated movie.
Yep.
All right. So now we're going to, you want to do the list? You want me to do like my five and then your five?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So my five is Mask of the Phantasm.
Okay.
And that is strictly because of how much I fucking love the animated series.
Yeah.
Like the animated series to me is like, if that could have been number one, like if that was like an answer, an acceptable answer, that'd be my number one. Yep. That is the definitive adaptation of Batman. That is the definitive Batman for me.
Yep.
The animated series is absolutely amazing. And Mask of the Phantasm is, what, an 87-minute episode of the most amazing animated series of all time. Number five, easy for me.
All right. Five for me is very close. But Batman Beyond Return of the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
The reason being that, first of all, it was an extremely mature story. It brought back all of the great voices from the animated series. So you have Kevin Conroy as Batman. I mean, obviously, sure. It's got the Batman Beyond, so Terry McGinnis, I forget who did his voice. But anyway, Kevin Conroy was an older Batman, you know, Mark Hamill reprising his role as the Joker. But it was such a fucked up story to tell in the first place. And I really feel like that kind of set the stage for what DC later on was able to do with the direct-to-DVD animated stories. I mean, I love Mask of the Phantasm too, and I feel you because I agree with you in terms of Batman and the animated series. It still breaks my heart that episode when Harvey Dent becomes Two-Face and Batman over the way he says Harvey. Like it breaks my heart every time. So I totally get that, but I feel like without Return of the Joker, I don't know if we would have the wealth of great DC animated.
Oh yeah,
movies. Because when people talk about Marvel movies, they're better than DC movies. That you know, whatever. I'm not going to get into that debate. But try watching a Marvel animated movie; they're fucking garbage for the most part.
Yep.
But the DC animated shit, I mean, it kicks ass every time.
Absolutely.
Except for the Killing Joke. But that's
we got. All right, we're not going into that. That was episode one of the show. We're not doing that again.
Okay.
I will say to that though, the one thing I will say about Return of the Joker is that is it Return or Revenge? Return, right?
I think it's Return. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the like I like Batman, Batman Beyond. Mm-hmm. It's a great show, but it wasn't quite on the level of the animated series for me.
I agree.
Until that movie.
Yeah.
And the flashback sequence
mm-hmm.
was like, holy shit. Like, yeah, I get it now. I love this show. Like, I liked it. Now I love it. Like, it. Yeah, I'm right there with you. That should have been an honorable mention for me. All right, so number four for me is Batman Returns. I love 89, mm-hmm. but I feel like Returns, like, the whole thing was like, so I love Tim Burton movies. I've always loved Tim Burton's movies. And so the one thing I sort of thought was missing, even though the Joker was in 89, was there just wasn't a sense of humor for some reason there, right? And so I felt like, you know, once 89 hit and it, you know, it hit big time. Like, it was like the movie that year. When Returns came out, I feel like, I don't know, Warner Brothers or whoever was more comfortable letting Tim Burton do what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so I liked that, you know, he gave Bruce Wayne more of a sense of humor.
Right.
You know, he plays that, you know, DVD or whatever of the Penguin calling the people of Gotham pinheads and shit. And then he like DJs that shit and scratches it and stuff right. like this. And so there's more of a sense of humor. I felt like Michelle Pfeiffer was like off the charts badass, like the best Catwoman movie wise, I think, that we've seen. Now, you could argue that, you know, the 66 show did Catwoman better, but I don't know. I feel like Michelle Pfeiffer was awesome. The only thing I didn't really like about Returns was Penguin. I know what he was going for.
Yeah.
But I sort of prefer that whole Penguin is the mobster type of guy who owns right. the ice lounge and shit like this, you know. Yeah. So I don't really like a sewer dweller wearing a onesie, you know, eating raw fish.
Right, yeah. You know. Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, yeah, I love Returns. I think that was Tim Burton's best Batman.
Okay. So number four for me is Lego Batman, which we'll get into when we talk more about the show. But I think that if you're the type of person who loves Batman and has grown up reading Batman comics, watching Batman TV shows, just consuming Batman, like, there's just so much to love. Like, there is such a love of the character and his goofy
Absolutely.
Universe. And everything yep. in this movie that, I mean, even just, and I mean, aside from just it being a technical, like, masterpiece, like, holy shit. I mean,
sure.
the love of Batman without being pandering
yes.
is just, it's, yes. it's amazing. So, but we'll get into that more.
I agree 100%. 100% agree.
So that was my number four.
All right. So three for me is Batman Begins. Okay. Birth, if you will, for Batman films. You know, I there's not a lot to say about it that hasn't been said. It's a fucking achievement for as far as superhero films go. I think a masterful retelling of the origin. Loved Christian Bale. I loved Michael Caine as Alfred. Mm-hmm. Loved the fact that they didn't put Joker in the first one.
Yep.
You know, they give us who ends up being, you know, Ra's al Ghul and the fucking Scarecrow, Cillian Murphy as yep. Scarecrow.
Yep.
I fucking love it. Yep. So that's, you know, that I loved the fear gas effects, like mm-hmm. the special effects for the fear yeah. gas and all that, man. Because I love me some Scarecrow. Like, he's my number two Batman villain. So mm-hmm. I absolutely love Batman Begins.
Yep, that's good. That one's not on my list. It should be. That would definitely be an honorable mention. Three for me, as I mentioned before, is Under the Hood. So, you know, the DC yeah. animated movies, they kind of toe the line. Most of the time they did, like just adaptations of comic stories. And, of course, then they, right. they have done some of their own original storytelling. And you know, anytime you're adapting a comic to try to take, you know, what is typically a pretty long series of books and crossovers and whatnot down into, you know, 88 minutes is difficult, but they fucking sure. nailed this one. The voice acting is great. I mean, Joe DiMaggio,
yes.
John DiMaggio, I always forget if it's John or Joe, fucking Marcus Fenix as the Joker, you're thinking, yeah. you'd think, well, that doesn't work at all. But he nails it. I mean, he is absolutely fantastic. And I just love Jensen Ackles, Dean Winchester, you know, as Jason Todd. It's just such a – it's a great telling. And I think Kevin Conroy was still doing Batman's voice at that point in that one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think so. I don't know if you've watched any of the ones now where Jason O'Mara does his voice, but he does a really good job as Batman. He typically does it in the JLA movies, and then Kevin Conroy will do like the Batman ones. But yeah, it's just a really it was a good story. I like the story to begin with, if it did kind of rely on the trope of somebody who's been dead coming back. But and then the adaptation itself was really well done, and you get to see an animated bag, duffel bag full of heads. So what's not to love? Jensen Ackles doing the voice work just makes a huge difference for me. Like, just as a side note, I actually last night I had a dream that Dean Winchester killed my puppy. And when I woke up, I wasn't like, oh my God, why would he do that? I went, all right, I'm sure he had his reasons. Like, I'm not going to disparage Dean. Let's give him a chance to explain himself. I'm sure the puppy deserved it. So anyway, so yeah, so that's number three for me.
Yeah, that was like I said, you and I are the only ones I know who love that as much as we do. And the reason is, like all you said, but also my thing is, like, I didn't love that story.
Yeah.
I really didn't. But it was so good. The movie was so good that I couldn't be mad at it. Like, right. This is awesome.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I find that there's a lot of the comics that, like, I'll watch the animated movie first, and then I'll go back and read the comics, and I'm just kind of like, eh. Like the Batman Superman where Supergirl first shows up. Like, I love the movie. The comic itself. Public Enemies. Kind of like, whatever.
Yeah. Public Enemies by Jeff Loeb. That was not, that wasn't a great series, but the movie was fucking entertaining as shit. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I feel you on that one for sure. All right. So number two for me is the Dark Knight Returns animated adaptation.
Oh, okay. Volume one. And
yeah.
First one.
Yeah. I put up
two volumes. But it counts.
So I bought them on DVD separately, and then I bought them together on the Ultimate Edition on Blu-ray. So I'm just kind of mashing them together as one movie. And that is probably, I think, the best page-to-screen adaptation of any Batman story that's ever been done. And it just happens to be one of the best Batman stories has ever been told, and I felt like the animation, like sometimes the animation kind of irks me a little bit, especially it seems like in the Justice League it's a little better or worse than it is in the Batman movies themselves, but like that whole pseudo anime thing, yeah. I'm not crazy about, but in this one, man, I think the animation is top notch. I think I love Peter Weller as old Batman.
And that's the reason it's not on mine, is because for whatever reason, his voice acting just kind of left me flat. I don't know why, but I love Peter Weller, and I kind of expected to like it more than I did, and I didn't. So that's the reason it's not on. I mean, I agree with you with everything so far, but that's the only thing that I wasn't feeling.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Older Peter Weller kind of, I don't know, he does it for me for some reason. And so him being in this is sort of like, I loved him in Sons of Anarchy, and he's kind of this skeevy, like, I don't know, his voice is kind of, I don't know, I just kind of dig it. So like, I liked that they cast him as old Batman. So.
All right. Well, for me, number two is the 1989 Batman. I mean, when it first came out, I actually hated it. I think it was so overhyped, and I couldn't stand it. But over time, to me, it's more like an Elseworlds. It is.
Yeah.
And so it's just a funhouse mirror take on Batman. I love, you know, everything about it, even as goofy and silly as it is.
Right.
So I'm willing to kind of put that aside because it's just a very, you know, unique and artistic take on Batman. But I understand why some people would not like it, because it's, you know, it is, there's some similarities, and you know, they kind of go back to the whole, you know, Joker killed his parents and, well, you know what I mean? And no, that,
yeah.
No, but you know what I mean? It,
right.
It worked, you know. I remember when it came out, seeing it in the theater, not liking it at all. And then years later, I actually got it on home video as a gift. And I watched, I was like home over a Christmas break. And I was like, all right, fuck it. Let me watch this thing. And then I loved it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's number two for me.
Yeah, we could do a whole show about that movie. So I'm not going to get into it. But I love it as well. Like I said, Batman Returns only eked it out just a little bit because I felt like it was more of a Tim Burton movie. Right. Whereas I think he was kind of pointing a little closer to the chest in the first one. And the second one, they were like, you know what, do whatever the fuck you want. And he did.
Yeah.
All right. So my number one will be no surprise to anyone, is The Dark Knight.
Mine too.
Yeah. It's as far as I'm concerned, that's the bar has been set there for Batman movies. Yeah. So I will say this though. I you know, having seen BVS, which I know you don't like, I feel like Affleck is probably my favorite on-screen Batman at this point, just because he is the living embodiment of Frank Miller Batman.
Yeah, I would.
But as far as a complete movie, you know, I think The Dark Knight is just it's you can't compare it to anything else, man. It's just fucking incredible. It started out as a movie, and for me it became an event. Like it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You know, Heath Ledger, God rest his soul, just absolutely stole the show.
Yep.
He was incredible. You know, you can argue that, you know, Christian Bale's goes a little over the top with the voice and shit like this, but there are certain scenes in that movie, like the nightclub scene when he goes after Eric Roberts.
Oh yeah.
You know, Jesus, dude.
Yeah.
Like I'm sorry, you can say his voice sounds dumb all you want, but that's fucking Batman as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, for me, in terms of the entrance of the Joker. You know, the pencil trick and you just don't, I mean, when have you seen, I mean, in terms of like bad guys, when have you seen an entrance that so thoroughly explains who this guy is as well as that scene?
Yep.
I agree. 100%. All right, so we could spend the entire night talking about that. So what do you want to get into first? Because we've got a couple movies to talk about: John Wick 2 and Lego Batman. So
sure.
Let's why don't we switch the Batman gears and we'll talk about John Wick Chapter 2.
All right.
So first of all, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. So my history with John Wick is that, while I appreciate the first movie for what it is, like I appreciate the balls to the wall action, I love all the headshots, I love it's at its core just a pure action film. As far as the plot went, I did not love it. I wanted to. Yeah, I didn't. I wanted to. I really did. So here's my problems. First of all, I don't know. It's hard to explain, right? So I dig the shit out of Keanu Reeves as a person. Like, I just think he is a cool motherfucker.
Yeah.
And, like, I wish that I could say me and Keanu Reeves, like, hung out on the week. We have the same last name. Like, I wish we just hung out and shit on the weekends. We were boys and whatnot. But when he's on screen, dude, he is so awkward to me at times. And I'm just like, does he understand what he's supposed to be doing? Like, you know? I'm just like, fuck. And then I watched John Wick and I was like, all right. I'm like, you know that whole thing where they say if you put a bunch of monkeys in a room with typewriters, eventually somebody's – that's what I felt like with the plot. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I've read better plots on the fucking placemats at Burger King. I'm like, are you fucking serious? I was like, all right. And then it irked me so bad because I watched the movie and I'm like, okay – this is sort of interesting. This whole, you know, the hotel and the whole Assassin's Guild and shit. Right. And I'm like, this is so fucking interesting. And they don't even scratched the surface of that. It's straight up about a guy who's mad because somebody fucking killed his dog and somebody stole a fucking car.
Right.
I'm like, but there's so many more interesting things here, and you don't get into any of it.
Right.
And then this guy is supposed to be such a badass, and he cuts through fucking how many people, how many other, like, fucking thugs and these guys, and he's fucking blowing heads off left and right, and he gets to the end, and he gets into a knife fight with a senior citizen, and he has trouble. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
This is what trips you up? So I didn't love the first one.
Okay.
I wanted to, but I didn't.
And how about the second one?
Second one did everything I wanted the first one to do.
Really?
Everything I wanted the first one.
Well, that's
absolutely good. I, you know, they got into the whole assassins thing. I dug the shit out of the plot. It made more sense to me. I felt like my one issue, and I won't get too much into it, was I felt like it was a 90-minute movie that was stretched into 2 hours.
It was a bit long.
You know, I felt like there was a little too much downtime or a little too much, I don't really care what the fuck, why we're doing this. But other than that, I thought it was 1,000% better than the first one.
See, now I would disagree only because, I agree with you about Keanu Reeves. In fact, I love Knock Knock, the Eli Roth movie, because
I love that movie.
You
yeah.
came to my movie with pizza.
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn down free pizza. And I know I'm gonna lose a tremendous amount of credibility with this one, but I love the Constantine movie, and I love him.
Oh,
I love Matt Ryan as Constantine. Don't get me wrong. To me, he's kind of
the
definitive Constantine, but I love the Constantine movie.
Yeah, I do.
But I totally understand what you're saying about John Wick, but I think that, you know, it also works because they play on his kind of stoicness and awkwardness.
Sure.
They work it to his advantages much in the same way that I think that the Matrix did.
Yeah.
But what I agree with you in that, yeah, they kind of scratch the surface of this whole kind of society of assassins in the first one. And I wanted to see more about it too. But the problem that I thought that the second one had is that they have now expanded it to the point where it's almost – it's starting to collapse under its own weight. Like, it almost feels too – it's like everyone and their mother is a fucking assassin. Like, you know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, everybody's a freelance
yeah.
assassin. And I liked it more in the first one where they kept it like this is definitely a it's a thriving business, no doubt about it. But it's
right.
still somewhat in the shadows. And so there's a reason why most of us, you know, don't know about it. Whereas
right.
in the second one, they've kind of expanded it to the point where you're like, is everybody an assassin? Like, is there – like, why am I not an assassin? I, like, you know.
Right. But to that, though, I think that – so John Wick 2, and I don't – you know, we're not going to spoil the ending. But for me, John Wick 2 very much feels like this sort of, I don't know, like Back to the Future – or, you know, Empire Strikes Back kind of thing where at the end you're like, okay, we've got at least two more coming. Like, I feel like
– I think
maybe
one more.
You think just one? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. I feel like – but at least – yeah, I definitely we're going to have a third. And I think, you know, that – I do think the action was sort of a little better in the first one. Like some of the action sequences, I dig the shit out of part two, but
well, the first one, the action was a little because of, I think the second one they expanded the set pieces, and because they expanded
yes.
the set pieces, what you lost was that upfront kind of
yeah.
immediacy of the action. So it kind of depends on where you kind of how you like. If you like these big. Kind of somewhat elaborate set pieces, then that's definitely the second one. But if you just want like close up, kind of in your face,
yeah,
that's
for
the
sure.
first one.
For sure, absolutely. I agree with that. But I don't know. I feel like I'm the type of person who enjoys, you know, when there's a movie and then the sequel almost picks up directly. And even if there's three, like, I'll sit down and watch all three, like, because I'm like,
yeah.
you know what? That was one long, badass movie. You know,
yeah.
I'll do that. And so I feel like that's sort of what we're going to get from John Wick. So I you know, you're absolutely correct. Whereas I think the first one would have benefited from maybe getting a little more into it. The second one sort of does kind of just throw it all at you.
Yeah.
And it's a little overwhelming.
I think we'll definitely have a third one. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But just given the escalation of things, I feel like kind of where naturally the third one would go without getting into the ending. Yeah. Kind of what are you gonna go? What are you gonna do beyond that?
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's not like my beloved Fast and Furious franchises are. In the first one, they're like boosting stereos, and now we're at Fate of the Furious, where they're like being chased by a submarine. Like, I mean,
man, you know what I'm gonna do?
Nope. What's that?
Now I'm telling you, I'm gonna watch every one of them. I'm gonna start over. I'm gonna give it an honest chance because I'm sorry, I cannot accept the fact that our opinions differ so vastly.
Now, here's the thing that you have to keep in mind. People will tell you, including my wife, and we've this has not been good conversations about this. Some people will tell you that Tokyo Drift is not a true Fast and Furious movie just because Paul Walker's on it. They are incorrect.
Okay.
And if anything, Tokyo Drift is the most important Fast and Furious movie. Because Justin Lin directed it, and it was on that set, and Dominic Toretto, he has a very small cameo in it. And it was on that set that Vin Diesel and Justin Lin talked about making this like a franchise, like actually making it a thing. And so if they hadn't made that movie and Justin Lin hadn't directed it, then they wouldn't have gone on to the greatness that they'd done. And if you don't watch Tokyo Drift, then down the line, right, there's going to be certain things that happen and you're going to be like, well, what is – I don't understand. What is this? And it'll all make sense.
Isn't the main character from that one from Alabama?
Yeah, Luke's Black.
I have to watch just based off of that. Like, I have to keep it hometown. So I got to at least watch that one. So
yeah.
That one I've not seen. I've only seen the first two, and I hated
it. I love
that
movie. So. I love two. That's two is the dumbest movie you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah. Well, that was my thing.
Too Furious is so incredibly stupid.
I remember getting so goddamn aggravated at Tyrese. Because
Tyrese is the best.
No, he's not. And the thing the thing was, so many situations, they were supposed to be like being sneaky and shit, and he was just screaming dialogue. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. You're sneaking. Yeah.
Furious has more bros per minute than any movie ever made. Like,
yeah.
It's awesome. So, and it's not just bro, it's bra. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen one, two, and I think whichever the first one The Rock was in, I watched that one. So that's all I've seen.
Fast Five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that movie. Yep. That's probably my favorite. Is Fast Five. But anyway, so I mean, I enjoyed John Wick 2, and I liked like the kind of the not just the assassin, but the entire service industry that has sprung up around. an assassin-based economy.
Yeah.
Like, I love, you know, they didn't go with the typical, okay, you know, this guy's going to go into the final fight, so here's the scene of him, you know, getting all his guns and whatever. Like, they kind of, they didn't do that. Instead, he goes to the tailor, and he's still, you know, like that. I love that whole, like, it's just because he's an assassin, they're still, you know, they still kind of carry themselves with a lot of class, and they, you know what I mean? So you go to your tailor is, you know, he's asking about, was it, you know, for evening wear or daytime wear or whatever. And, you know, and then the wine guy is also the weapon guy. And I mean, I just really liked that the way that they did that.
It was sort of this, like, I don't know, like, it's like not James Bond type of shit, but it's like, like you're, like dollar store James Bond type of shit, you know?
Right. Like, well, you definitely could see some of the what's the movie with Colin Firth and the spy movie. Sam Jackson's the bad guy, the kid, the British kid.
The Kingsman.
Kingsman. There's definitely a Kingsman vibe to it.
God damn, I love Kingsman.
Yeah, I love that movie too. So yeah, there's, you know, there's definitely some of that there. Absolutely. But what's funny is I had to, before going into the movie, I had the only spoiler I read was whether or not the dog died. I had to know that yeah. going in, because I was like, if they kill another motherfucking dog in this movie, I'm gonna flip a goddamn table. Like, I'm not gonna fucking stand for that. So yeah, so I was glad that the dog lived, and I loved the dog. I thought the dog was great. Although dog I did feel great. Bad that he never named the dog, but I, given his line of work, I could kind of understand maybe why he would feel.
Oh yeah, he's, you know, he's hesitant to get attached to another dog at this point based on the first movie.
So. I feel you. But yeah. Okay. So, I know that at the John Wick 2 and Lego Batman, they came out at the same time, and I originally was kind of like, I'm not sure which one to watch, and I chose to watch John Wick 2 first, and then I took my kids to see Lego Batman. They were off over President's Day weekend, and I think that was the right choice. My kids, they're not big into superheroes. I mean, they like Legos. It was more like, I was like, hey, do you want to go see this movie? And I think they were like, shit, go to a movie? Yes, we'll go see whatever. And so, you know, my daughter, she sometimes has a hard time kind of following movies. She's gotten a lot better now that she's gotten older, but sometimes, you know, she doesn't always follow along. So I was kind of like, my son, I was like, I knew that he'd be fine or whatever. But
right.
I was like sitting there in the theater with her, and I was like, well, she doesn't really like Lego. She doesn't really care about Batman. I know she's kind of going just to go, but I hope she has a good time. And at the very beginning, when, you know, Batman's doing the voiceover over all the logos, he goes, oh, like, cool logo. I don't know what they do, but his logo was awesome. And she laughed out loud, and I was like, all right, we're good.
And then
from there. But I own it, but I still have not seen the Lego movie, so I don't really know, like, kind of, I mean, I have a pretty good feeling of Batman from it, but I don't really know how he fits into the Lego movie.
So he fits into the Lego movie in the way that the non-DC characters fit into the Lego Batman movie.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Yep.
So, like, you know how, like, there's this overarching thing going on that's very specific to the Lego universe, and in the same way that in this one it's a very DC-centric thing, then all of a sudden they go, hey, Joker's in the Phantom Zone, here's all these other Godzilla, King Kong, and shit like this. And so in Batman, there's a very, you know, or I'm sorry, in Lego movie, there's a very specific set of, like, main characters and whatnot, and so your main guy is like this generic Lego guy, and he falls in love with this girl. This girl just happens to be Batman's girlfriend, so this sort of ancillary type of character who's hilarious, but not, you know, our main protagonist.
Right. Okay. I mean, I just was amazed at how well they were able to balance, like, the humor. They had fun with Batman, and they made fun of Batman, but they never made fun of people who liked Batman. They never like, I never at all felt like they were being mean, or they were being like made you feel bad for liking Batman, which for a kids movie is really important, because obviously you don't want kids to feel bad, you know, that they like this thing. But I just, but yet at the same time, they poked fun at so much of the stuff. But they also got to, you know, one of the things that I gets frustrating when you read the Batman comics is this continual, you know, push and pull between going, Batman needs a family. Let's get a whole family of people around Batman to show him that he needs a family. Okay, he's got a big family. Let's make a whole bunch of horrible shit happen to all of them. And then Batman goes, I don't need family. Family's bad. Yeah. I'm afraid of losing my family. I'm going to push them all away. And then we have to go through this whole thing of why Batman needs family.
Right.
And that basically was, you know, kind of the plot of the movie. But at the same time, it just was nice to see, I don't know, like, they just did it in such a better way in this that it felt more, I don't know. It was a lot more touching for him to kind of, like, you realize, you know, they just handled it better. I feel like when you see it so many times in the comics that it's almost just out of laziness that they're like, okay, sure, we need to do a big crossover event. Well, so obviously let's get the whole Bat family involved, and then that'll give us, you know, a reason to do it. And not to say that it doesn't work out well.
Right.
But
oh, you're know, right. Just, but the difference for me is that one guy wrote this movie, or
yeah,
maybe two, right? And you're talking about how many people have written Batman over the past 70 right. years, you know what right. I mean? So yeah, it's much easier, I think, to do that story in a movie than it is to redo it again for the umpteenth time in the comics. And right. so that's, and I don't know. Like, I feel like that challenge is like, it has to wait on every single person that DC's yeah. like, hey, do you want to write Batman? Right. They're like, well, fuck yeah, I want to write Batman, but what the fuck do I do at this point? Cause it's right. all been done, right. you know?
Well, and I think too, it helped that they make Batman such like a narcissist, and part of it is
yes.
I mean, he's doing you could definitely tell that he's doing that in part to convince himself that okay,
sure.
I don't need people because I'm so awesome. But like in the comics, they always make it like, well, Batman, he's tortured and he's kind of mean to the Bat family and he pushes them away. And here he's
right.
kind of an ass. He's just like, no,
yeah,
I don't need
idiot.
look how yeah right like look how great I am. Of course, why would yeah. I need people? Like yeah. I'm fucking amazing, and he is, and it's hilarious.
It's fucking hilarious, man. The first 15 minutes of
oh,
this
yeah,
movie
yeah.
is the best fucking thing I have seen in a movie this year, hands down. Like this,
yeah.
that shit, I was rolling.
I
didn't even care.
For Christ.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and he thinks he's good at it. That's the best part.
My
and he's
God.
Like, well, I'm Batman. Of course, I'm awesome at
everything. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I fucking lost it at the theme song. I lost it when he honked the horn going to the orphanage.
All right. That's right. Yeah, he has the old Batman theme on his horn.
Yes. Like, oh, shit. Dude, the first 15 minutes, I was like, I wasn't sure how I was going to, because I was like, okay, I heard it was good, but I don't know. But, man, that 15 minutes, I was like, yep, best movie 2017.
Yeah, I was the same way, because I was like, okay, you know, it was one of those things where I heard it was good, and you know, I have people online whose opinions I trust, and you hadn't seen it yet, so I didn't have your opinion to weigh in on, but there's, I don't know if you read on, I don't read a lot of stuff on Polygon, but Susanna Polo, she does a lot of their comic stuff.
Yeah.
I really like her take on a lot of things, and she had reviewed it and basically said, you know, it's a really good Batman movie, and obviously, I think from a technical standpoint, I mean, I don't want to discount from a technical standpoint, because it is amazing. Like when you see
what
they are able to do, just even the way the light hits certain pieces and the way, you know, you could tell that finish is, I go, yeah, I should have some Batman minifigures. And that is exactly the way the light hits his cowl.
Absolutely.
But, you know, her saying, no, it's a really good Batman movie. I was like, okay, that's the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
And the most important thing for my kids too, like I want them to know what a good Batman movie is. You know, obviously they like Lego movies and shit, but and it has all of the typical Batman stuff, or all the bits about Batman. It's just they're kind of turned somewhat on their head, but the core is still there. The core of, you know, Batman is still, for all the stuff he's able to do, he's still a guy who lost his family, and that impacted him in a tremendous way. And he has a surrogate family, and he's better when he realizes how important they are to him, and he then lets them help him. And I think, especially for kids, like, that's a great message, that it doesn't matter how good you are, that if you have a family that supports you, then you should take advantage of that, and you should be happy about that. But then all of the jokes, oh my God.
Oh my God.
This is a movie I can't wait to watch again. Even just, like, all the characters, like, the side.
Yes.
My kid was at, like, my son is like, were those real characters? I was like, oh yeah, yeah, they're all
every single one of them. I love that. Yep. I love that.
Like,
so they're like
King.
They're like, yeah, you're making some of these up now, right? And it's like, nope, they're all real. You can Google them.
Yeah, right. Like the egg guy. Oh my God, I haven't thought about him in years.
I know. Fucking the Condiment King, man.
Condiment
Come on.
King.
I love the fact that fucking Condiment King is in a fucking movie in 2017.
And he got a lot of scenes.
He
too.
Did, yeah. He had some jokes, right? That's amazing. Yep. And, like, I love, you know, you know, that scene with Alfred when he catches Batman staring at the old family photos.
Oh.
And he's like, when have I ever done that? And he's like, well, there's a time in 2015, 2014, 2012.
Yeah.
Like, goes to all the old movies.
And the covers, like how they did the Lego bit to be the covers.
Yep.
I thought that, like, and that's the thing from, I mean, it would be easy. You know how easy it would be to just make a cheap and lazy cash-in Lego Batman movie? Like, that would be the easiest thing in the world, and it would still make a ton of movie.
Right. I own some of them. You know, they exist.
It would still make a ton of money. There would still be a lot of kids who would love it. Uh-huh. But the amount of work and research and just love for the character that went into this movie, I mean, I can't begin to imagine the work that they did. And then not just the work that was done, but then figuring out how to weave it all in a way that worked for the jokes and for the story and everything.
Absolutely. So that's the whole thing, right? Like, I'm still waiting. So, you know, they have those Lego Star Wars, like, little short movies and shit.
Yeah.
They put it out on DVD and this and that. I have all of them. I'm waiting for the Lego movie or the Lego and Lego Batman version of the Star, because there's such potential there to make something as good as this with Star Wars, and it's not happened. And it's the same way, like with Batman, you know, even before the Lego movie came out, they had these like straight to DVD, and they're good. Don't get me wrong, they're not bad. But then you watch this and you're like, holy shit.
And then somehow they managed to bring in villains from a whole bunch of other movies, and it worked.
It absolutely worked.
Like when
absolutely
they,
worked.
You know, like, okay, when Superman's there, fine, and Zod, you're like, fine, that makes sense. And then when Joker goes to the Phantom Zone, and fucking Voldemort's there, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And Sauron, and King Kong, I would not call a villain. I think King that was
sure
mistake,
no
whatever.
Absolutely not. But.
And then the fucking Witched Wick of the Witched Witched listen to me Witcher Wist of the Wicked Witch of the West and Jaws and I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Like, are you seriously? And the Gremlins and the fucking agents, from the movie. My son's like, who are the guys in sunglasses? I'm like, I'll tell you later.
Yeah, right.
You know, and they bring them all in, and it all works. Like, that was the most amazing thing to me. Is that they bring all of these characters in that have absolutely nothing to do with Batman.
Dude.
They're able to make jokes about it. They're able to bring him in a way that works, and it's just funny. And it, I mean,
yeah, you've got to watch the Lego movie, man. You've got to watch the Lego movie. Like, you've got to watch the Lego movie. They do the exact same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and that I would more understand because, you know, that's the thing about Legos. They have so many licensed properties, and if you go to any kid's house who likes Legos, that kid's got a bin, and he'd be able to be like, okay, I'm going to be Jack Black, or sorry, I'm going to be Jack Sparrow, and you're going to be this elf, you know, or you're going to be whatever, you're going to be from Ninjago or whatever. Like, you more understand that. But in a Batman movie, you know, that's a tougher thing to pull off.
Oh, it absolutely.
But they did such a good job with it. And in fact, the thing though that killed me was I was just watching, and every single vehicle that they had for him, I'm like, if they made sets of those, I would buy all of them.
Yeah.
Like the Scuttler, I can't wait to buy the Scuttler. Like, that thing is fucking great. The only plot point I didn't like. Is Bruce being all like gaga over Barbara. And it's only because of the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
I mean, even if I hadn't seen Killing Joke, I still would be like, okay, well, you know, traditionally in the comics, their relationship isn't quite that. So I'm not, but I would be less kind of bugged by it.
It's less skeevy if you haven't seen the Killing Joke.
right. And they don't dwell on it. Like, once he kind of is like, okay, you can join us and you'll be Batgirl, and she's like, can I call you Batboy? They don't really ever kind of approach it as a romantic thing again. So it was just kind of – I was kind of surprised, you know, that they actually did it in the first place, because other than it just being a plot point for Bruce to adopt.
Oh my God, Robin.
It's like, oh, these pants are a little bit tight. And whips them off.
Yeah. Oh my God. That, and the scene when they're breaking into the Fortress of Solitude.
He's trying to.
Oh my God. Yeah. And he's like, I'll be Robin. I've already got a catchphrase. Tweet, tweet, in the street.
Yeah.
I fucking lost it. I absolutely lost it. And Batman's like, hard pass. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah. Like, that's one that I can't wait to watch again, because I know how much stuff that I missed the first time.
Same here.
Even just, you know, from a technical perspective, or from a, you know, kind of being able to say, okay, well, what did that guy look like? Or, you know, some of the battle scenes and stuff, I mean, they just happen so fast, and in a good way, because it's not, you know, it's not meant to be this long, drawn out, you know, John Wick type of, you know, fight. It's supposed to be fast.
But I also know that I missed lots of jokes because I was still laughing at the previous jokes.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see what I missed.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So, you know, I wonder how much kind of mileage they'll get out of it, like in terms of what other type of things they'll try to do. Like you mentioned, you know, Star Wars, but just even, you know, if they wanted to do it with just continuing with like Justice League or something like that, or if they're, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I sort of have a feeling like maybe Lego Movie 2 will be next. I don't know why, but yeah. I don't know, you know. We'll see what else. So I'd watch 100 of these, just Lego Batman. Just give me 100 of them. You know, I'll watch them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. And I figured I would like it. I didn't think I would like it this much.
I was the same way.
I was like, okay, you know, it's good. You know, my kids are off from school and, you know, we don't really go to the movies very often. So, you know, I'll take them and, you know, it'll be a fun thing for us. But I did not expect to enjoy it as much as I did.
Oh, I didn't either. And you know me, like, I love Batman, and I still was like, eh, he was funny in the Lego movie, and I liked the Lego movie, but I didn't absolutely love it. You know, it was cute. Yeah. It is what it is, but, gee, this one fucking blew me away.
Yeah. Yeah. So, are you going to go see, is it Get Out? Is that the name of it?
Get Out?
Jordan? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pretty excited for that. I don't know. The trailers just fucking creep me out.
You know? I agree.
I feel like it's going to be like, it might be this year's Don't Breathe. And I know Don't Breathe isn't that old, but like I'm like, you know what? I think this one is one that I probably need to see in the theater because I don't think I'm prepared for what it's really going to be. And so I want to see it in the theater.
Yeah, me too. Like I was going to go, I forgot that it was coming out this week. I was going to go Friday, but I can't. So instead, I think I'm going to try to go on Monday. And then that way I'll be all ready to go see Logan.
Yes, sir. So.
But, yeah, so we'll have plenty to talk about. I think that's it for us. Pretty thorough dismantling of two movies that we enjoyed. I don't know what would happen
absolutely.
If it was a movie that we didn't like.
Oh, I'd rip that shit apart. Knowing you know I will.
It'd be 2 hours long. you know, thank you everybody for taking a listen to the podcast and obviously watching all the streams and on the YouTube channel. In terms of streaming, what's coming, I'm going to finish up Hitman. Horizon Zero Dawn, I am definitely going to stream it. I don't know if I will have the patience to only stream, to only play when streaming.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the new Torment game comes out on the PC the same day, so I'll have that to kind of tide me over in the off hours. Mitch, you're still doing
yes. I'll
Resident Evil.
I'll keep up that. I'll probably finish that in the next week or so. I'm guessing based on my progress and what other people have been doing. If you're not gonna do Inside, I may do that because I fucking love Limbo and I'm really looking forward to getting inside. And sort of, I don't know how it's worked out this way, but sort of, you seem to do the big releases, and I do a lot of the more the indie type of shit for some reason. So
yeah, I mean, I just re-downloaded Limbo on my iPad because I never finished it. So I think you're probably definitely in a much better place to do inside because cool. I don't have as much of a history with it. I do want to replay Limbo before I play it. But
oh, it's so good, man! I love that game.
Yeah. And then are you going to stream Wildlands when it comes out?
Probably so. I'm thinking so because that's a day one purchase for me just based on the fact that I have lots of people who want to play that with me, and right. that makes me happy. So I'm glad right. to do that. I don't know that when I typically stream it's going to work out to where, you know, I'm going to be streaming like the campaign and shit like this. It may just be gameplay videos of us, you know, fucking around,
yeah. Well, that's yeah. good too. Yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's the thing is, I mean, for certain games like Hitman, I don't have a problem streaming Hitman and being like, okay, the only time I play it is when I stream it because, you know, yeah. it's not the type of game that I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to play Hitman and right. It sucks, I have to wait to play Hitman. But
right.
Horizon, yeah, you're going to have to pry that controller out of my hand, so I'll try to find a way
God, I can't
to
wait
kind of balance
that.
It.
I tweeted it this morning. I fucking love Guerrilla Games. Absolutely yeah. love Guerrilla Games. Man, oh my God. Yeah, I can't wait to play that game.
yeah. So, but you can catch up. Let's see. We have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/C. I don't know why. /divided by werewolves. Mitch is twitch.tv/rotundbatman, and I'm twitch.tv/MrBinky, all one word. And then, of course, we have the Facebook page, and you follow us both on Twitter. Mitch is Mr._Bones, and I'm Mr. Binky, all one word. And that way, and of course, Divided by Werewolves is Div by Werewolves, all one word. And that way, you'll always know when we're streaming or tweeting or fucking doing whatever stupid bullshit we're up to. but we do very much appreciate those of you that choose to hang out with us, however you decide to do it, and, you know, tell your friends and get them to hang out too, and we'll have a good old time of it. So
absolutely.
For myself and Mitch, this has been episode 16 of the Divided by Werewolf show. We thank you so much for hanging out with us. We look forward to spending some more time with you in the near future. So for both of us, good night and have a good evening.